B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 11 o'clock and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We are a Beasley Media Group station. Are we spoiled with them?
It depends how you're looking at it. Like, you said it perfectly in the opening segment. Like, you gave all these great numbers for the Eagles, right? Like, in the last 20 years, they've only had four losing seasons. Two of them were 7-9, and of course, one of them was Doug Peterson's first year, right? So, like, you go, oh, new coach, rookie head, or new coach and rookie quarterback, they went 7-9. You toss that up, you're like, all right, whatever. Here's the start to the future,
right?
So, I really only look at it as three legit losing seasons in the last 20 years, or maybe two, because I'm guessing one of them was Andy Reid's first year, right?
Right.
So, really, just two legit losing seasons, one of them being Chip Kelly's final year, and the other, I forget what the other one was. So there you go. And it was what? The other one was after McNabb got hurt.
Yes.
So your four losing seasons in the last 20 years, two of them were rookie coaches. One of them was your quarterback was hurt, and one of them was Chip Kelly's final year, and that was the debacle, which led to good things to come for the Eagles. But you said it perfectly. Because they won the Super Bowl, it makes it all great. If they don't win the Super Bowl, yes, you had 20 years with a couple of great seasons, but you never won the big game. But because you won the big game, I guess you could say, I don't want to use the word spoiled, but we've had very, very elite level football in the last 20 years.
So my theory or my assessment is they're the second most accomplished franchise in the NFL.
Over the last 20 years.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the Patriots are the Patriots, and we know what they've done. But there's been teams that have won, went to more Super Bowls, or been the Giants 1-2.
Right.
But the Eagles have won a slew of more games. They have been more accomplished. The Eagles are a staple year in, year out on national television.
Yes.
So I'll tell you a story. So I'm a little boy. And my father's listening, so he can tell you it's true. And every year, I used to say, oh, I love the Eagles. You know, I'm obviously an Eagle fan. He goes, Dad, how many games the Eagles are going to win? 13, Dad. 13-3. And he laughed because they stunk, right? Like, for the most part, 60s and 70s, they were horrible. Now, here it is, late 70s, and I'm going, yeah, 13-3. Hey, laughing. They stink. They're a mock, right? But over the course of my adulthood, they've been good, right? Like, I had that run that I remember, and then into the Buddy, they were at least entertaining, and then the whole Andy in his last 20 years. So, if you're 25 years old, the Eagles are the greatest. There's no real disappointment. Yeah, they lost some tough NFC championship games and the whole thing. But if you're 25 years old, they won the Super Bowl 3 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, to
like
me,
you're it. Like,
yes,
you're like there's no like your vantage, your attitude should be, why would you ever rip the Eagles?
Yes, I am spoiled. And I've said it before. Like, I am a spoiled Philadelphia sports fan because, let's face it. So when do you really start picking up knowledge of sports or really getting into the sports?
It's probably 10 years old.
10 years old.
Would you agree? I mean, you and I were probably both.
I'll argue 7. And that's only because the Sixers got to the NBA Finals when I was 7 years old. Right. And then that's when, like, oh my God, what is this feeling that I'm having?
Well, you
about
and I are early bloomers.
Right. So, me personally, I go 7, right? And that was Sixers get to the NBA Finals. And then you get four straight NFC Championship berths for the Eagles during that run from 2000 right to 2004. And they get to the Super Bowl in 04. So from the time I'm 7 to the time I'm 11, I've experienced an NBA Finals berth, a Super Bowl berth, and four NFC Championship berths. By the time from the time I'm 7 to I'm 11, And then, you know, I get to when I'm 14, so I have like 3 years off. But I get to the age of 14, and I'm getting Phillies are starting to make that run. They have the great year in 07. They win the World Series in 08. They get to the World Series in 09. They get to the NLCS in 10. And at that time, we didn't think there was a decline, right? We didn't think they would go World Series, NLCS, NLDS, and not make the playoffs. 11, I get over 100 wins. You mix in some of the great years for the Flyers in my early ages. They get to the Stanley Cup in 2010. They lose on a heartbreaking goal, but they still got to the Stanley Cup Finals after an incredible run where they win on the last day of the season in a shootout. They go down 3-0 to the Bruins, come back and win the series after going down 3-0 in Game 7. I have been spoiled as a Philadelphia sports fan in general. And the losing seasons for the Sixers... A, I still had Iverson. B, they were losing on purpose. They were tanking. And I knew that they were tanking. And I wasn't upset with the tank because I said, oh my God, they're going to get some star players and they're going to be great. Now, we will still find out what the result will be for the tank. We don't know what it is yet. It has landed you Ben Simmons. It has landed you Joel Embiid. Will it ultimately land you an NBA championship? I hope so. I think so. Yes, in my 26 years, but let's take off 7 before I really started getting into sports. In my 19 years as a sports fan, a legit sports fan, I've been spoiled. I've had McNabb and Wentz.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I had Donovan McNabb, who was my hero as a kid, and Carson Wentz. I had Allen Iverson, and then eventually Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid.
Right. I mean, what's that say?
I had Danny Briere, you know, I had Claude Giroux. I now have Konechny and Provorov and hopefully Carter Hart. I didn't go through the 40 years of terrible, terrible goalies.
Yes.
Well, 20 years, Hextall.
Yes.
You know, I didn't go through that.
I hear you.
I went through years, right? I went through Čechmánek and all those guys, even though Čechmánek had a good first year. Like, I had those guys. I had Brizgalov, just like everybody else. But I didn't have the previous 20 years or the previous years since Hextall.
Right.
I've been spoiled. People my age have been spoiled when it comes to Philadelphia sports. And I own up to it. I can bitch and moan just like you, but I don't have that same anger about some things. Over the weekend, I looked over the all-time receiving leaders in Eagles franchise history. And it's DeSean Jackson has accumulated the most receiving yards because he's played for three teams. But Harold Carmichael, Eagle alone, has the most receiving yards in Eagles franchise history. And to me, as incredible as that is, because he played in the 70s when you weren't really throwing the ball that much, it's embarrassing that the Eagles don't have anybody that has surpassed Harold Carmichael because of the throwing era that we've been in the last 20 years. Right? Like, isn't that embarrassing for the Eagles?
I mean, it's more frustrating than
that. He doesn't even have 9,000 yards. Yeah, somebody should have surpassed that.
Yeah. No, I get you. I get what you're saying. I don't think it's embarrassing. But yeah, I would have, like, I agree they should have somebody.
But I haven't felt that same pain as you.
Here's the thing. I can't look at the last 20 years and say you should be embarrassed about anything. Not when you've won 190 games. Not when you've went to the playoffs 8, 10, 13 out of 20 seasons. 13! Not when you've went to 6 title games, won a Super Bowl, and had only 4 losing seasons. I mean, what do you want? And I tell you, over the next 20 years, you sign up for that? Right?
100%. As long as I know that they win one Super Bowl out of it.
I mean, that should say something. That should mean something. I mean, listen, I like to break balls, the best of them, right? You know, and you know, I still don't like the pick, all right? Like, I still don't like Jalen Hurts. Forget about Jalen Hurts for a second. 20 years of this. Hey, by the way, who's been a constant over the last 20 years? Obviously, Reed meant a lot, and Doug's meant a lot. But Howie's been there the whole 20, basically.
Yeah, you're right.
Jeffrey Lurie has presided over this thing over the last 20. I mean, not for nothing, like, we could grouse it all, but that's pretty impressive, no?
It has been. It's been very impressive.
You know what I mean? Like, when we go overboard and say, this guy doesn't know football. And I'm guilty too sometimes. I say things all the time out of frustration or whatever. But when you go back and actually look at the accomplishment, I mean, like if I'm Howie Roseman, I feel pretty good about my career. Right or wrong?
No, yeah, you should.
I mean, if I'm the Eagles, I'm Jeffrey Lurie, I would say I've been the best owner in all of Philadelphia sports. Right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I can't screw that.
I have, ever since, if you look at pre-Jeffrey and post-Jeffrey, he's probably the most underappreciated figure in all of Philadelphia sports. I know it's an owner, so who cares? And I tend to agree. But you could make that argument.
Yeah, and you know what? We made fun of,
emotional intelligence.
He was right.
Guess what? That won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That won a Super Bowl. Emotional intelligence. All right. We're owed to the Eagles has begun. We'll be doing that. Keep the baseball thing alive. A lot of hoops and hockey as well. 610-632-0975. And we got to get back to the salutations. We got to do that, Junis.
Yes, we do.
Little salutation action.
Yeah, we got the first round in the books.
Yes. All right. Coming up next, you don't want to miss the first Name That Game highlight. Your chance to win a Primo gift card. That's coming up next. First highlight. Make sure you're listening. It's Cuz Radio with the Tunis, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, welcome back. Cuz Radio with the Junis. Hanging out with you. Always a lot of fun. 11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. Junis, what do we got first? Clue and Name That Game.
Out of it. Rupp hangs on to the foul tip. Three strikeouts for Aaron Nola.
Whoa. Yeah, you know, it's we've been talking for all morning about D-Day with baseball and how it might not come back. And it's depressing, right? But when you hear that sound. Doesn't it hurt even more?
Yes.
You realize yes. How much we love the game?
Like right? this sound. A ball hitting the mitt. That's it.
Dude, it's true. You feel it. You really do. You feel a certain way. You know, you just do. It's a shame. Anyway, back to the Eagles. Ode to the Eagles. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Tom.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Tommy?
I may be wrong for saying this, but I want to get your opinion on it. I'm one of the few people, and I go way back. My first love of baseball was the Big Red Machine back in the 70s. I'm rooting for it to fail. And I equate it to like a drug addict. You have to hit rock bottom before you can make the necessary changes to recovery. And I'm hoping that with a failure will come the changes that the game needs to make to get rid of all the greed and the vanity that goes along with this game since, the mid-'80s when it all just got out of control.
See, here's the problem, and you're right. I completely understand where you're coming from, but the real problem with the game, like, how do you get rid of that? You talk about greed, right? Like, how do you? It's a huge business. I don't know how you get rid of it.
Well, hopefully, if they do, happen to hit rock bottom, you can come back without a players' union. You can put a salary cap in place.
You're going to have a union. You know that. I mean, you have to have a union.
Part of the problem, though, is that the union is unwilling, and the owners, nobody's to blame here. It's just the game in general and what it has become and where it stands now. One of the changes they have to make in order for it to be competitive with the other three major sports is they need a salary cap. They need to come down on the players that have been cheating all along. I stopped going to baseball games in 1994 when the World Series was canceled. I have not been to a game since, and I will not go to another game until the changes are made to make the game what it used to be. I love baseball, but even if it comes back and if it's up against the NBA or the NHL, that'll be my third choice to watch, unfortunately. But,
Tom, my heart goes out to you. You sound like a great dude, and you sound like an incredible fan. But here's the thing. You got to have realistic goals. Like, it's never going to come back in the form of your childhood. It's never going to do that. I agree with you, small steps, salary cap. But what you're saying, it's never going to happen. I just gotta give you some truth serum here.
I know I'm reaching for straws, but there's always the possibility, that if somebody wakes up if they hit rock bottom. Let's say they don't play this year. They still don't have the issue solved next year. What will happen? Like I said, it's gotta hit rock bottom before everyone involved with the sport itself, owners, players, executives, the whole nine yards.
I appreciate your call. I really do, Tommy. Thank you, buddy. And I understand your sentiment. I do. I really understand the sentiment. And I agree with it in principle. But in reality, other than getting a salary cap, as long as there's television, it's going to remain that big, and it's going to remain that soiled. I don't know. Do you see something different?
No.
Do you all of a sudden see this, altruism make its way through the sport?
No, I do not.
It's just not realistic, right?
Yeah, no, I guess I kind of get where he's coming from, but no, I don't think so.
I understand where he's coming from. I appreciate where he's coming from. But I don't see it. I can't imagine that all of a sudden this game becomes streamlined.
Right.
First of all, the commissioner's not strong enough.
No.
You got a weak commissioner. I mean, look at the NBA. One of the reasons why the NBA is where it is because of David Stern. David Stern was a great commissioner. He was. He stood up to the owners. He stood up to Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban, powerful guy. He's also a very charismatic guy.
Yep.
And, and he came in. When he came in, I remember it. Because, he wanted to emulate Pat Croce. And, here he was. He was young. see pop off all the time. And listen, I love him as a fan. But, you know, when it came down to it, Stern was the guy who understood, had a vision. He knew how to market the game. He knew how to grow the game. He knew how to put the owners in check. Baseball has not had a visionary. Baseball needs a visionary. Baseball needs a real commissioner to come in and grow the game and sell the game to the masses and put the owners in their place and put the Players Association in its place. I mean, I understand how powerful those entities, but it needs a strong commissioner that can come in and take charge. That's the only salvation for baseball.
Yeah, if you're Rob Manfred, you go, listen, guys, we've got to find a better agreement here because we'll be the first sport back. And if we're not, we're dead.
How could they not be the first sport back?
When they were talking about being the first sport back.
Listen, they have to be the first sport back. They have to be back by July the 4th. They got to push it. They got to push the limits and go for it. They have to. I mean, what to do about risking lives? Stop. You're going to be in a five-star bubble. Give me a break. You got to be the first sport back for the betterment of the sport. Not for yourselves, your money, anything else, but for the sport itself. For the health of the sport, it needs to come back. If this sport doesn't come back, I'm telling you, it's a huge hit. People won't miss it. And July 4th, just like the mayor in Amity with Jaws, it means something to these parts.
Yes, it does.
It has something to do with baseball and July 4th. Come on, man. People are going to be one. People are freaking out, right? Memorial Day weekend, it's not even hot, and they're going to the beach.
Yeah, I mean, this past Sunday, it was like 50 degrees out.
Right.
And because there's nothing to do, people went to the shore.
They're dying to do something, right? Like, you're dying to do something. Give them some baseball to put in the background of their cookouts and their beach days. I guarantee you, it'll be good for the sport. It's time for the second highlight. Name that game. Primo's gift card, $25 Primo gift card up for grabs. Not just a hoagie. It's a Primo. Take a listen.
There's a line drive, base hit into center field. Aaron Nola's single to center. A one out base hit.
Have the answer. I don't. 215-263-0975. That pauses me thinking, playing the game along with Name That Game.
This is probably something that I remember because I was there.
Yeah. That's interesting. 215-263-0975 is how you join us.
That was another sound, by the way. Missed that.
I know you did.
Nice crack of the bat.
Well, you know, as much as you know, we're hitting the sport hard, it's for a reason. When we do the playbacks, people will get excited when we did Philly's playbacks.
Oh, that 08? People were tweeting us saying I have tears coming out of my eyes listening.
Yes. Yes.
And because the Phillies, they're not great right now, but you know, arrows pointing more so upwards than down at this point. Right?
I agree.
You can see a bright future for this team. I want, like, people should want them back.
Well, you got to give the people a reason. Right?
And they're starting to.
You got to give the peeps a reason to want them back. You know that. All right, 215-263-0975. You let me know. We got Dave. Davey, you know the game, my brother?
Good. How you doing? I'm going to take a guess on this. I know it's Aaron Nola, obviously. It was Aaron Nola's first career start against the Tampa Bay Rays in 2015.
Yay!
Yeah! Wow. That's awesome. Thank you, cuz. Thank you, Shooty.
Yeah.
I remember
great.
Watching that game. I was so excited for him coming up to the big leagues. I couldn't wait to see him pitch, man. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Anthony.
I love it. Way to go, man. Way to go, buddy. That is fantastic. Good job.
Yeah, that was a nice day.
It was.
Because that was like, all right, the Phillies have sucked the last couple of years, but here we go. Here's a positive sign. Aaron Nola.
But very positive sign.
I was so angry leading up to that game because I wanted to go see it, right? Like, I was like, I got to see Nola's debut, right? So I called my dad. I was like, you want to go? He said, yeah, sure. Why don't you bring Mom and Christy along? And I'm like, all right, fine. Sounds good. So I bought the 4 tickets for everyone. You know, it was my treat. And naturally, my mom and Christy were not ready on time, right? Like, you know, they took their time getting ready to get to the game. So I drove us, and man, did I drive like a madman. And when I parked, I handed them the tickets, and I said, I'll see you inside. I ran to Citizens Bank Park from the parking lot to catch his first pitch.
Did you really?
Yes.
That's great.
I got into the stadium, because it was July. I was dripping.
Right.
Because I park, you know, for free, down the road somewhere. Not nothing to do with media passes. I just don't like paying for parking. So I go down the road. It's about a mile, right? So I just booked it and sprinted into the stadium to catch his first pitch.
Where do you park now? You park further down.
I can't give my secrets.
Do you park further down on Patterson, or do you off of Patterson, or do you park off of like Argonne Avenue? Like on Packer Avenue, further down.
It's Patterson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like a couple spots.
Yeah, this is a fish market.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, we know that fish market are my boys.
Yes, you guys did the Seahawks. Remember you guys did the throwing of the fishes or whatever? I remember you guys doing that.
Samuels and Son.
Yes.
Is the great fish. I get all my fish at Samuels and Son. I figured that's where you park.
Don't park there, guys. It smells really bad. It smells really fishy. You don't want to park over there.
They have the best fish in town. That's
yes, they do, but it's Anthony, it smells terribly outside, so people shouldn't park there. You know what I'm saying? I have it reserved. I've had many a beer there.
Oh, my God. How about...
everybody knows about it, but don't go there. Go pay your $40.
I got to give a shout-out to my man Warren Abbott. He was taking a guess.
Yeah.
And he says, I gotta figure out a way how he could say that. Is it when that bleep bag pulled Nola in the fifth when he was cruising?
Against the Braves. Oh my, and do you remember who they brought in? Do you remember who they brought in? He probably made 3 more appearances after this.
No, I don't remember.
It was Hobie Milner.
Oh, my God.
Who gave up about a 600-foot home run to Freddie Freeman.
Oh, my God.
I was at the garage bar on Pass Young.
Yep.
And I'm like, what is he doing? What is Gabe doing? And he pulls Nola after five and a third because he wanted to save his arm for the season. I'm like, come on. It's opening day. And he brings in Hobie Milner, blows the lead.
Oh, my God.
And that's when I hated Gabe Kapler. I didn't like him when they hired him because he had no managerial experience. Like, I was like, I'm out on this guy. And he makes that mistake. Remember he got booed during the home opener?
Yes.
Rightfully so.
Yes. It's amazing.
That's an ode to the fans right there.
Well, it really did. And I remember trying to give him, like, trying my best not to react to him, right? And give him the benefit of the doubt. Dude, like, I tried so hard not to be close-minded. So I get called. Philly Mag was doing a story. And they asked me, go, listen, What do you think of Gabe and how different he is? This is like in spring training or the, whatever it was. And, you know, we had known about the ice cream thing, spitting out the ice cream. And
the coconut oil.
Coconut oil, all that nonsense, right? And you know how, like, just he's got an annoying way, you know what I mean? So, and you know how much I love Charlie, right? So I'm like, listen, I just want to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he's a new age thinker, and we should look at any of the coconut oil, the ice cream, and not react to nonsense, and just react to baseball. And he was a worse manager than he was weird. Like, his baseball was bad. Right or wrong?
You're 100% right.
His baseball, it was off.
He was not a good in-game gut manager, which, you know, I get it. It's tough, but, like, you know, managers win World Series sometimes based off gut, and he had no gut. And then the times he tried it, he failed. Like, he just... There was nothing about Gabe Kapler where I said, yes, that's why you hired him. That's why he's here. Because he made that. I mean, it literally started opening day. Pulling Aaron Nola after 5 1/3 when he wasn't in a jam. I remember it was somebody hit a double, right? So Freeman comes up to bat. And it's like, all right, if it's like the seventh inning, maybe. But it was the fifth and he had 60 pitches.
Yeah.
He didn't even hit 70 pitches. I think if I were to guess, random guess, 67 pitches. He wasn't even at the 70 pitch mark and he pulls it.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, this is your ace.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as time went on, the more and more annoying things, we have the infamous curveball machine quote. Right, Bryce Harper laughs at him.
I mean, outrageous, right? I mean, think about it. Think about how bad, and he was a puppet for Klentak. He's a flipping puppet for Klentak. The moves that he made just didn't make any sense. The guys on his roster, his lineups, he was an abomination as a manager. A complete abomination. And yet, think about this, Andrew. And yet, the general manager wanted to keep him over Joe Girardi.
Yep.
And again, I go back to it. How in the world does that guy have a job? I don't mean to go back to this, but how does that guy have a job?
He said these three infamous words.
I love Cap.
You love Cap.
But you remember he was against and
yeah, during the press conference.
Middleton said it. Middleton outed his general manager by saying he was against the hire. He wanted to stay with Kapler. And I don't understand why John Middleton would keep Klentak around when he didn't want to fire Kapler. If you can't recognize how bad he is, well, of course, why would you? You're pulling the strings. That makes him bad. And if you're Middleton, how do you not fire him? When you know he was pulling the strings. Who's making that call? Is that you, Cap? No, it was Klentak upstairs. How could you continue with that, Andrew? I beg you.
Since next week, first couple of days of the Mets series, do some extra work on the field. We'll bring out a curveball machine and we'll bring out a live arm.
Wow. Great. Great job, Gabe.
How does he get a job?
Let's open it up in chat.
Andrew, how does he get a job then? He turns back and gets a job.
Well, yeah, remember the Bob Nightingale piece that came out right around that time, right around the curveball machine time, because I remember that's when people were just crushing Gabe Kapler, right? Like, they were killing him. And Bob Nightingale wrote that story, and to me, that story came from Matt Klentak. That'd be my guess. So somebody with the know within the Phillies organization that, oh, well, if Gabe gets fired today, the Giants will pick him up tomorrow.
Right.
To replace Bruce Bochy when he retires.
Right.
And... Hey, it was actually correct. The Giants picked up Gabe Kapler not long after the season came to an end.
Outrageous. Outrageous. All right. All right, let's take a quick TO. We'll come right back. Open up the phone lines again, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Playback. We celebrate number five today. We're going to get through this day.
I'm not going to lie. I watched the game, and I'm like, oh, man, that guy could have been so much better.
Yeah.
Because he was my hero growing up.
Number five, will always love you. Yep. Hero. Was he your number one guy?
Him and Westbrook.
Well, B. West was a worthy man. But no, I'm talking about, was it him or Iverson?
Probably.
Him, Iverson, Utley, Howard. Who was your number one?
Well, I said this baseball, Tomei came first before, like,
okay.
Because remember, it's like,
right,
oh my
well,
God.
Tomei,
yeah.
McNabb, or Iverson?
I may lean McNabb, to be honest.
Number five, number one overall.
Yeah, when I was a kid, he was my hero, man.
Yeah, it was quarterback. I get you.
And four times in a row.
Yeah.
NFC
yeah.
Championship game.
Yeah. Yeah. Lost two of them
mm-hmm.
by himself.
Yeah, I know.
No.
Looking just back
saying,
at it.
Just saying. 610-632-0975. It's Cousin Radio with the Judas right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
What up?
What up?
I haven't hit you with that in a while.
No, you haven't. You always make me laugh when it comes to that. That's for sure. Judas, as we sit here on this beautiful morning, man, beautiful afternoon, getting ready for lunchtime across the Delaware Valley. One of the things I really want to get into, particularly after the playback, is the ode to the Eagles. And we're going to do this as a theme the next few days. And I really want, because of how successful they are over the last 20 years. And again, in case you just joined us, I was looking this up. It just kind of stood out to me. I was looking at different franchises. And over the last 20 years, they've had only four losing seasons. They were 6-10, 4-12, 7-9, 7-9. That's it. 2 7-9ers, too. They have made the playoffs 13 out of possible 20 times. It's amazing. The longest they went without making the playoffs was a 3-year stretch. Of course, the end of Chip Kelly into the beginning of Doug.
And that was when everyone won a division title at one point, right? It was Washington won with RG3. Yeah. I think it was then New York and then Dallas.
I mean, that is amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, and I pointed out earlier, the four losing seasons, two of them were rookie years for head coaches and Andy Reid and Doug Peterson. And then one of them was when McNabb was hurt and they went 6-10.
I got to tell you, I mean, I'm like, you know, I mean, I was like not shocked because you understand how good they are, but I was when sometimes you see it, and I wrote it down in my notebook, and I'm like, wow, man, that's such a feat. It's such an incredible feat.
Yeah, and you can't compare three straight playoff appearances to four straight NFC championship appearances. But in the recent run that we're on right now with three straight appearances with Doug and this Eagles group, they won a Super Bowl. So, like, yeah, you haven't made it to the NFC championship 3 years in a row or 4 years in a row like they did in the early 2000s, but they won the big game. They won the Super Bowl.
Right?
So, like, you know, that's even more impressive to me.
I know.
You won.
I know.
Talk about washing away things. I'm not saying you wash away those four NFC championship appearances, but those losses get washed away because you won the Super Bowl.
I mean, I just don't even, I can't imagine it, right? Like, you can't imagine how good they are.
And they've been very consistent, right? They've had very good offensive lines.
Yeah.
For the majority of the, not every year, but for the majority of the 20 years. They've had, for the most part, a good quarterback, right? They had McNabb. They have Wentz now. You know, in between, right? It's Foles. It was 27-2, but that was kind of more of a fluky year, it looked like. You know, you had a couple good years of Vic. You had the 1 year of Bradford. But for the most part, it was a constant of McNabb and Wentz.
Right.
And that's good.
Right.
You look at Cleveland. Before Baker Mayfield, and we still don't know about Baker Mayfield, there were 20 years with bad quarterbacks. 20 different bad quarterbacks.
Exactly. Exactly.
You've had good defensive line, right?
Right.
Really for the last 20 years.
I mean, what more do you want? What more do you want? I mean, sometimes I feel not guilty because, listen, you know, you can always do better, right? I had them number two, right? So the Patriots are number one. So, yeah, they could have won another Super Bowl. But, I feel guilty sometimes because I think sometimes we are so hypercritical. Now, we're into it that much, so we need to be. But are we at all over the top? And let's start off our kind of ode to the Eagles and say and ask the question, have they been overly criticized? And then you can follow it. You can add it. Have they been unfairly criticized?
Man, I would say no.
I mean, listen, I just criticized McNabb for not playing better in the championship games.
Yes.
Right? So I just did it.
Yeah, I mean, I do think McNabb is a guy that should get some more love. You know, people that say he's a Hall of Famer, I don't think so.
He's not a Hall of Famer.
You know, I don't think so.
Sorry.
Right.
I mean, please. I sometimes can be overly criticized. Yes. He is nowhere near a Hall of Famer. Let's be real.
Right. But he's a guy that I think does overall deserve more respect. But you can... You know, it's a very strong argument to say he came up small in every big game or the majority of big games. And that hurts your legacy. Mm-hmm. When you fail in a lot of big games. It wasn't just one time.
Right.
Right? It's not like, oh, he only failed in the one Super Bowl they got to. No, he also failed in NFC Championship games. I'm sure he failed in some big regular season games. Right? Like that happens. That did happen. And that's why McNabb deserves the criticism that he gets. Overall, he still put up a good career. But when it came to big games, and that's what really matters, he did not play well. But I don't think that we've overly criticized the Eagles. I mean, the most recent criticism has been the pick of Jalen Hurts, which is 100% fair in my opinion.
Yeah, it is. No, I agree. But we have definitely... Maybe not unfairly, because I'm a big believer in you should be allowed to, and you should look at your team critically because you love them.
Yes.
So I'm a big believer. I mean, I still have the soul of a journalist. However, I could say that they've been overly criticized. Like, you know, I believe that. And partly I'm guilty at it myself. Guilty of it myself. Right? I mean, I could be honest and say that.
Yeah, I've been overly critical, too. I mean, we live week by week, right?
Listen, when you do, day by day in some cases, when it comes to us
right.
And doing this. Let's go to Frank. He's a great veteran. Frank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Have the Eagles been overly criticized, Frank?
I know. It's a great question. And, Andrew, your perspective, I appreciate your perspective. I would say, I'm going to sound like someone. I would say no.
I would say no.
May I change gears?
Yeah.
So before I go on another baseball rant, geez. Oh, Hobie Milner, is that a sailboat? Schooner, Hobie Milner, I never heard of him. So, real quick, and yesterday, remember, I was coming up with the four number one seeds for the Colts quarterback. It
yes.
was Marino, Namath, Stabler, and an obscure one, Dan Pastorini, who was apparently a fine swordsman back
Dan
in the day.
Dan Pastorini from the Oilers?
Yeah, my man.
The Oilers. Wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know he was a swordsman.
Yeah. And I have a quick foursome, may I? I'd love to see. I know
yeah.
it's going back.
Go ahead.
I'd love to see, assuming he plays golf, the Hoodie and Tiger versus Brady and Peyton. Can you imagine how intense? Jeez. I think the Hoodie would get like a 5-minute major for slashing with a hybrid or something.
Yeah, he would be intense.
Yeah. So if I'm in front of Manfred in the PA, I'd be like Tony Robbins. I'd say, guys, life is 10% what happens to you, 9% how you react to it. Right? Adversity, you know, it's supposed to build character. You become stronger from it. Not put your head in the sand.
Right.
So how about, you know, be imaginative, be proactive. Of all the sports, Dan, baseball, you know, you had the Black Sox, you had the doping, you know, banging the flipping trash cans like a Santana riff. You know, now this, I think it's the most egregious of them all, right? Nonsensical.
If they don't play, it is
yeah.
clearly the most egregious of all the transgressions. And there's
Correct.
Been some serious transgressions. Of all those transgressions, cancel the World Series, steroids,
right.
whatever it is,
cheating.
All the whole thing, the gouging, I mean, everything, the juicing of the balls, all that stuff. It would all pale to not playing in the summer of the pandemic.
Yeah, it would be more stuff, you know?
Yeah, yes.
I think
Dead.
Would, if I may, you got to. I would lump guys like Manfred, Seelig, guys like RGM, and a host of them, and I throw them in a dumpster. Forget the Baxter. Put them in the bathroom.
You got it, Frankie. You know? Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.